I remember the imposing nature of Huntington House the first time I saw it. The grand marble steps, reminiscent of ancient temples, and white Doric columns stretching up toward the sky. Lanterns on each step flickered in the brisk wind, and the faint, rhythmic pounding of a trumpet could be heard. Open windows carried the muffled sounds of laughter and conversation, and although invited, I felt as though I were imposing. My cold breath danced on the wind as I stood regarding the final step. A chill ran down my spine. It was there, frozen in time, that I sensed one more step would steal my fate and fortune. One small step into the great grand Huntington House and my life would take a turn that would determine its course, and forevermore, I would be the bit player in a grander scheme. Perhaps it was the automobile, a machine recently introduced to the world to compete with the horse and carriage, pulling it behind me that disrupted my premonition. Perhaps it was the folly of youth, but the warning subverted. I yielded as if to a siren's call and entered through the grand doorway to the warming lights and illusions of the underworld. I might have yet felt another warning and reconsidered fleeing down the enormous steps, across the lawn, and out into the engulfing trees to be sheltered by the moon if it were not for an imposing baritone that interrupted my final urge to escape and instantly diminished my ability to retreat.
"Your coat, sir?"
that baritone asked, and I, like an obedient schoolboy, removed my trench coat and handed it to the butler.
"You are Harry Lacroix, no doubt. Your Aunt Lois will be delighted you are able to join us," he concluded.
"But how do you..." But before I could finish my sentence, he was off. I suppose, like old demons, he knew best how to serve his master. Several white-coated waiters passed through the crowd with trays of food while others carried silver trays of bubbling champagne. I was jostled without regard for the champagne in my hand. Juggling my glass, I was surrounded by over-enthusiastic guests basking in the warmth of gas lights.
"Harry!"
I looked in the direction of the exuberant cry and saw Lois waving her hand in the air to get my attention as she navigated skillfully through the engulfing crowd and approached my side.
"Oh, Harry, I'm ever so delighted you could come,"
she said, sipping her champagne. Then raising her glass, she offered a toast.
"To me, Lois Fairmount, may my marriage be a long and prosperous one."
We happily clinked our glasses. "This is quite a party, Lois."
"Oh, indeed, Harry. I don't care for a soul here besides you and John, and yet here they all are. Aren't they ghastly?"